Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the first Perek of Hilchos Eruvin. We begin a new section of Mishnah Torah together, one which, on a surface level, is rather complex, really intricate halachos. However, hopefully, after some of the harder prakim in Hilchos Shabbos, we'll be more equipped, better prepared to deal properly with this amazing section of Mishnah Torah. Very excited to begin it together. Halacha Aleph. Chatzar sheish b'shechinim harve. Kol echem mehem b'bayis la'atzmo. If you have a courtyard, which has many different neighbors living in it, each one of them having their own house that leads to this communal courtyard, din torahu sheyu kulan mutar letalto b'chol ha-chatzer, mibatim le-chatzer, mechatzer le-batim. On a biblical level, it is absolutely permitted for a person to carry throughout the whole courtyard, and from the houses to the courtyard, from the courtyard to the houses, mibnei she-kol ha-chatzer rishas yachid achas u-mutar letalto b'kula, because the entire courtyard is defined as one private domain, and therefore it's permitted to carry in all of it and from one part of it to the next. And similarly, the same thing is true with regards to an alleyway, to have a quick refresher. The way houses were situated back in the days of the Talmud was that somebody would have his house, which led in the front to a courtyard, which was communally shared. That's called the chatzer. The various chatzeros in an area would together lead into one joint mavoi, an alleyway, which was closed on three sides, and then at its fourth side, at its opening, it would often lead into Rosh HaSarabim, a public domain. So if you have a mavoi, this alleyway, which all these chatzeros lead into, and on its fourth side, it has a post stuck on the side, which we discussed in Hilchos Shabbos, which enables one to carry in it, o kora, or it had a beam on top, which allows one to carry in it, so in such a circumstance, really on a Torah level, one is allowed to carry from the various chatzeros which lead into the mavoi, and from the mavoi into the chatzeros, and to carrying the whole mavoi itself. Because that whole alleyway is considered a private domain. And the same thing really applies on a Torah level to a city. As long as the city was surrounded by a wall that was 10 tefachim high, roughly 3 feet, and as long as it has doors to it that are closed at night, or can be closed at night, it's all defined as a single private domain, zehu din Torah. This is what is true on a biblical level. However, halacha beis, avon the different sofrim, asr l'shechinim l'talta v'shas yachid sheish l'chaluka v'diurim, ad she'arvu kol l'shechinim kulan me'erev Shabbos. However, on a rabbinic level, it is forbidden for all these neighbors to carry in that private domain, which has various separate family units, different dwelling units that all share it together. Unless they've all joined together, as we will describe shortly, before Shabbos. Echad chatzer, echad mavoi, echad medina. This applies to a chatzer, it applies to a mavoi, and it applies to the medina, the city that we just referenced. V'davar zeh takanas Shlomo u'beitina. And this enactment was created by the great Shlomo HaMelech and his Beis Din. Halacha Gimel. V'chein yosh ve'olim sukos o'machaneh she'kifua mechitza, ein metaplim o'ol o'ol ad she'arvu kulan. And the same thing is true also. If people live in some sort of tent, trailer park, if they have booths that they live in, if they have an encampment that is surrounded by a wall, nonetheless, they are, on a rabbinic level, not allowed to carry from one tent to the other one unless they've all joined together. However, if you have a traveling caravan which has encamped for a little bit and they've surrounded themselves with a wall, then they don't need to join together in the fashion that will be described below. Below Erev, instead they can take from one tent to the next tent without any Erev. Because they are all fundamentally considered to be enjoined and those tents aren't their set places. Halacha Dalet. Now, why did Shlomo enact this enactment? So that people not make a mistake and come to think as follows. Just as it's permitted to carry out from these courtyards out into the streets of the city and its marketplaces, and to bring from those back into the courtyards, so too, it's equally as permitted to carry from the city out to the fields, and from the fields out into the city. People will come to think that these marketplaces, these big streets, since it's open for everyone to use, they're just like those fields, those wildernesses out beyond the city. And they'll say, and they'll think that just those courtyards which are in front of the houses are a private domain. And then they'll think, since I can carry from the courtyard out into the city, which is sort of like Rosh HaRabim, isn't it? So it must be that there's no concept of this malacha called Hotsa, carrying from one domain to another. And they'll think that you're allowed to carry, therefore, from an actual private domain to a public domain. In other words, because these somewhat public areas, which have the halachic status of a Rishus HaYachid, appear to be Rishus HaRabim, so people will come to make a mistake and think that you would be allowed to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim and vice versa, which is not true. Therefore, Shlomo and his Beis Din enacted that any private area which is divided amongst the people who dwell in it, and each one of them has their own space which is just for them, and they share a common space which they all are able to use, such as a chatzar in front of houses, that we should consider that place not as a Rishus HaYachid as it actually is, but instead that it should be treated as Rishus HaRabim. And only the place which each one of them has, their own private home, in that larger chatzar, that's considered the Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, it is forbidden for somebody to carry from his own private home out into the courtyard where they all share space. Just as you wouldn't be allowed to, if we were dealing with real Rishus HaYachid and real Rishus HaRabim, carry from that private to the public domain. Rather, each one of them is only allowed to use his own private domain, his own little house, until they all join together, even though, on a fundamental level, according to the biblical law, they're all considered one Rishus HaYachid. Now, how do they join together? How do they create this Erev? It's that they join together with one food that they prepare from before Shabbos. It's as if to say, when they join together over this one food item, that we're all joined together and we all have just one meal for us. Just as we're all able to use this same common area, really, each one of us can use anyone's quote-unquote private area because it's open for all of us to use. We're all in this together. We're all joined together. It's as if it's one joint rishus. And by doing this action, and by enacting this, nobody's going to come to make a mistake and think that you're allowed to carry from a private domain to a public domain. Halacha Zayin. Ha'erev she'osin b'nei ha'chatzer zeh im zeh, hu ha'nikra eivro e'chateros. When we refer to an Erev that was just described, that food item which they designate, when it's amongst the Bnei Chatzer, when it's within homes around a courtyard, so then it's called Erev Chatzeros. Just a definition of terms, when you have the alleyway combinations of all the different joint Chatzeros around the alleyway that join together to come together in that one alley, or those various alleys come together in the larger city, so then that's when it's described as a shita, a partnership. Halacha ches. Ein ma'arvin b'chatzeros el b'pas shleima v'ovad. With regards to creating an erev for a chatzer, you can only make that erev if it's a full loaf of bread. Afilu kikar ma'afes sa vi prusa ein ma'arvin ba. Even if it was a very large loaf of bread, used a whole sa's worth of flour, nonetheless, if it's only a piece of it, you cannot use it for an erev. Heiser Shlema, on the flip side, if it was whole, the heat kisser, it was merely the size of a coin, ma'arvin ba. You can still then use it for an erev since it's whole. Now, ukeshem shema arvin b'pas tevuah, just as you can use wheat bread, bread made from regular grain, kach ma'arvin b'pas orez b'pas adashim, you can also use for an erev bread made from rice or bread made from beans, avalo b'pas dochan. However, you can't use a loaf made from millet. B'shituf bein b'pas bein b'sharachalam. With regards to the mavoi, or the city, joining together, so that you can use bread or any other type of food. In fact, you can use any type of food except for water, if it's water all on its own, or if it's salt all on its own. And also, various types of fungus or mushrooms also cannot be used for the shituf, because they're not considered food. Now, if you took water and salt and combine them together and made some sort of dip, so then it qualifies as a food and you can use it for a shituf. Halacha tes. Now, what is the size of the food? How much do you need in order to create a shituf? There needs to be the size at least of a dried fig's worth for every one of the people that lives in the mavoi or that lives in the city. And this is assuming that there are at least, as a minimum, 18 of these gregarious sizes or less. Aval im hayu merubim al zeh shiro shtei seudos shein kishmona esrei gregoros shein kishesh beitzim beinonios afilu hayu mishtatim alafim merubavos shtei seudos lekulam. But if it's going to end up being more than 18, so then it goes up to the amount where it'd be 2 meals worth, which is the equivalent of these 18 dried figs, which is also the equivalent of 6 regular-sized eggs. And even if there's thousands of people in this city that are joined together, those 2 meals worth enough for all of them to join together for the shita. Halacha Yud. Kol ochel shu nechol kmo shehu, kagon pas, umini dagon, ubasar chai, emish tafu bo, shiro, mazon, shtei sudos. If you are using for your shita of food which is eaten all on its own, such as bread, or various types of grain, or raw meat, if they would all join together, so then the amount that you need is enough food to supply for 2 meals worth, as we saw before. V'choshu liftan, v'derecham lecho bo pitan, go'n yayin v'vusho, l'vassar tzli, v'chometz, v'morias, v'zaysim, v'imau, shabatzalim, shiro k'dei lecho bo shtei sudos. But if the food that you're dealing with is something which is more of a side dish, it accompanies the bread, such as cooked wine, or roasted meat, or vinegar, or fish brine, or olives, or onion heads. So with regards to all of these things, the minimum amount is amount that it would take to accompany 2 meals worth. Not actually 2 meals worth enough, but the type that you would have as side dishes for 2 meals worth. Halacha Yud Aleph. Nishtatfu b'yayin chai, shiru shtei rebios l'kula. If one was creating a shita of using raw wine, so then the amount that's necessary is 2 rebios for everybody, which is roughly 6 to 8 ounces for every person. V'chei m'sheicher shtei rebios. And the same thing is true with beer as well. Beitim shtayim u'mishtatfin bahen v'afil hein chayos. With regards to eggs, so you need at least 2 eggs, and they can even be used for a shita of even when they are raw. V'yirmonim shnayim, with regards to pomegranates, it's 2. Esrog echad, you need 1 esrog, chamisha egozim, or 5 nuts, chamisha farsikim, 5 peaches, litra shel yorek, bein chai, bein shalak, with regards to vegetables, so you need a weight measurement called a litra, whether they are raw, whether they are cooked, vim hayad basho, velo basho, ein marvin bo, lefisha ein roi lachila. If it was sort of cooked, not fully cooked though, so then it's neither here nor there, and it's not fit for eating, and therefore you can't use it. The Rambam now goes on to list more examples and their measurements. Echla, tavlin, kav, tamarim, kav, gorgoros, mana, tvela, kav, tapuchin, kshos, kimlo, yad, polin, lachin, kimlo, yad, chazin, litra. Now, with regards to all these different things, I'll try to translate some of them. There's an ochla's worth of spices, a kav's worth of dates, a kav's worth of dried figs, a mana's worth of crushed figs, a kav's worth of apples, a handful's worth of kuskusta, and a handful of beans, and a pound of lichen. Okay, all these different types of foods and their measurements. Ve'hatrad and harin b'chlal yerek, with regards to beets, so they're considered vegetables of Arvin Ben, and therefore you can use them for the Erev. Ali b'tzalim ein Arvin Ben. However, onion leaves cannot be used for an Erev, elim hivtilu b'nasa orech kol ala mehen zeres, unless they've already grown, and the length of each leaf is at least that of a hand which is fully spread out. However, if it's less than that, then it's not considered a food. And all these different things which have been listed, these all count as side dishes. And that's why we gave them these specific amounts. And the same thing is true for every other food, and you have to apply each one in its own way. Now, all the different types of foods are able to join together to get to the amount of the shita. Therefore, if you don't have the exact amount of one of them, but you have another type of food, you can use different foods to reach that total amount. The Rambam is now going to define some of these measurements which were alluded to beforehand, which I left undefined. Litra hamur b'chomakam, whenever you refer to a litra, a Roman pound, how much is it? Melo shtei rebios. So that's the amount equivalent to 2 full rebios. V'ochla, how much is this ochla? We also mentioned that before. Chatzi rebios, it's half a rebios. Umana hamur b'chomakam, mea dinar. When we refer to amana, it means 100 of a coin called a dinar's weight. V'hadinar sheish ma'an, how much is a dinar? It's 6 ma'an. V'ha'ma, how much is a ma'an? Mishkal sheish esrei seoros. So that's the weight of 16 barley corns. V'asela arba dinar. Now how much is a sela? A sela is 4 dinar. V'ravias machzekes min ha'mayim o min ha'yayin. Mishkal shiva asar dinar. V'chatzi dinar v'kerev. Now how much does ravias hold? It's able to hold either water or wine. The weight of 17 and a half dinar, roughly. Nimsa halitra mishkal chamisha ushloshim dinar. Therefore, a litra, when we refer to this type of pound, it's the weight of 35 dinar. But ochla mishkal tisha dinar pachos rivia. And how much is ochla, which is half that? It's 9 dinar minus a quarter, which is 8 3/4 dinar. How much is a sa? So it's the equivalent of 6 kav. Va kav arba lugin, and a kav is 4 lug. Va lug arba revios, and a lug is 4 revios. Ukvar biyaron midas revios b'mishkal. We've already explained how much a revios is, and its weight. Ve'ilah shirim shadim tzarif lus koros on. That person needs to always remember these measurements. So it's good over here. We have a good list in case we ever are confused what these measurements are. Instead of opening with the back, one of those svarim which supplies it for us, we can always look in the Rambam, Hilchos Eirvin, Halacha Yud Beis, and Halacha Yud Gimel in Perek Aleph. Halacha Yud Dalet. Ochel shu mutter ba'achila, a food which is permitted to eat, af al pishu asur lezeh ha-ma'arev, even though it happens to be forbidden to this one who is involved in making Erev, harizeh ma'arev bo mishtati bo. He is nonetheless still able to use it for his Erev or his Shita. Ketzah, the Rambam will illustrate, mishtatef ha-nazer v'yayin v'yishral b'truva. A nazir, somebody who's sworn off wine, is allowed to use wine for his shita. And a Yisrael, who's a non-kohen, and generally cannot eat truma, so he is allowed to use truma for his shita. And similarly, if somebody had sworn off this type of food, he'd take a vow or an oath that he's not going to eat it. So nonetheless, he can still use that as his erev or as his shita. Because even though it's not fit for this particular person to have, it is fit for somebody else to have. However, on the flip side, something which is forbidden to everyone actually can go in tevel, such as untithed produce, even if it's only rabbinic in nature. And also meiser rishon, which hasn't had its trumas meiser properly removed from it. And also meiser sheni or hektish, which hadn't been redeemed in accordance with the correct ways. So these you are not allowed to use for an erev or a shita. However, demai, produce which we're not certain whether or not its miser had been taken off because it was owned by somebody who can't be trusted to take off their miser. So since Chazal forbade this to most people, but they permitted it still to poor people, so since it's fit for some people, you can use it for an Erev or Shita. Ubemaiser Rishon Shinidala Trumaso, and Maiser Rishon which did have its Trumas Maiser removed, Maiser Shani Behektish and Iftu, and with Maiser Shani and Hektish which were redeemed, Afal Pish Lunas as a Chomesh, even though you didn't give the extra Chomesh which you generally do have to pay, Shana Chomesh Ma'akiv, because giving that extra Chomesh, which is in our terminology an extra 25%, so an extra quarter, which can be called a fifth because it gets added to the 100%, so then the total is 125%, so it's a fifth of that. So that extra bit does not prevent somebody from fulfilling their having redeemed it, and therefore it can still be eaten by anyone. However, in Yerushalayim, which is where Meister Sheni is supposed to be eaten, even though it hasn't been redeemed, so it's allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim, so you can use it in Yerushalayim to create an Erev, since there it's fit for eating, but anywhere else you cannot. Now, how do we go about creating this Erev in a courtyard? We gather one loaf from every single house, we place them all in one vessel in one of the homes amongst the homes of the courtyard. It doesn't actually have to be a place where people live. It could be a place where they store the straw, the hay, or in a place where the animals live, or in some other type of storehouse. However, if they placed it in a different type of thing, if they placed it in a guardhouse, the gatehouse, even if it's owned by a single person, or in one type of porch or another type of porch, or they place it in a house which isn't 4x4 amos in size, so then that's not going to count as a valid erev. And when you gather together all these different loaves for the erev, you make the following bracha, bracha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, asher kishon mitzvah v'tzibanu, al mitzvahs erev. And you also say that with this Erev, then everybody who lives in this surrounding area around the Chatzar, who lives in these homes, they should be allowed to carry from one home into another home on Shabbos. You can have a child even go and collect this Erev. The house which they're going to keep the Erev in, so they get a little bit of a freebie, they don't have to give the bread. And if that was just the custom people were used to giving, so then we don't change that because we want to keep the peace. Now, how do you create a shita with regards to an alleyway? We gather from each and every one of them the size of a dried fig, or if they are going to be more than enough to provide 18 of those dried figs, as we saw before, so then you can gather less than the size of a kugaris. And then, once we've gathered it all, we place them all together in one vessel, in one of the courtyards amongst the courtyards, or in one of the houses around the courtyards, around that alleyway, or in a porch, that's all going to suffice, and that counts as a shita. Aval im enichu ba'avir, mavoi eino shita. However, if you placed it simply in the airspace of the alleyway itself, that's not going to count as a shita. It needs to be one of the chaseros, or one of the houses, even a little house, even a porch, anything like that, that's going to count for a shita, but in the mavoi itself will not. However, if you are placing it just out in the chatzer, one of the chatzeros, so then you have to make sure that that vessel is above the ground by at least a tefach, so that way it should be noticeable. And you make the same blessing of al mitzvah erev. And then you say, also a different type of proclamation, a very similar one, that through this joining together, this shitaf, so all the people who surround the mavoi, who live outside the mavoi, should be allowed to carry in and out from the courtyards into the mavoi. Halacha yud ches. If they divided up the Erev or the Shitav, we saw before you were supposed to put them together in one vessel, but if they put them into separate vessels, even though it's all inside of one house, but it's in different items, so then that's not going to be a valid Erev. However, if they filled up one vessel with the Erev, and there was some leftovers, so they had to fill it up in a second vessel, so then that's going to qualify. Halacha Yotes. If people are joining together in one of these alleyways, they also still have to make an Erev with regard to the courtyard with the chatzeros in order so that the children not forget the concept of Erev. Because the children won't notice that which is done with regards to the larger alleyway. Therefore, if they had used to create their shitaf, loaf of bread, so then you can rely on that and you don't need to make a separate Erev in the chatzeros because the children will recognize bread. If there were a bunch of people that were having a meal together and then it suddenly became Shabbos, if they hadn't made yet any Erev, so then they can rely on the bread that's ready on the table to serve as the Erev. And if they also want to rely on it to combine the chatzeros for the alleyway, they can rely on it even though they're only eating in the courtyard. Instead of having to do a process of gathering from everyone, if one of the people in the chatzer goes and says, this loaf of bread is on behalf of all the different people in the chatzer, or he takes the amount for two meals worth, and he says that this should be for the shita of all the Bnei HaMavoi, so then you don't need to go and collect it. However, he does have to have somebody else acquire it on their behalf. He can't just proclaim it on his own. Now, he can use different people to acquire on behalf of everybody else. When he says, here, take this, and he gives it to the other person, say, and acquire it on behalf of everybody else, he can do that through his son, his daughter, assuming that they're adults and not minors, through his Jewish servant, or through his wife. However, he's not able to give it to his children if they're minors, or to his servants that are not Jewish ones, but are considered what we can call an Eved Kanani, somebody who is partially Jewish but not fully Jewish, because their hand counts as his hand. Anything they acquire, he acquires. And he can also go and give it to his Jewish maidservant, even though she might be a minor, to acquire on behalf of everybody else, because a child is able to acquire on behalf of other people on something which is rabbinic in nature. And you don't even have to inform them all that you've done this. The people in the chatzar, the people in the mavoi, you don't have to tell them that you've done this on their behalf, because since this is something which is beneficial to them, it's good for them, so you can do that on somebody's behalf even without them knowing about it. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Ein ma'arvin v'lo mishtafin m'shabes el mod yom. A person is not allowed to create an Erev or a Shituf on Shabbos. You have to do it beforehand, on Friday. However, if it's twilight, it's getting close to Shabbos, and may even count as Shabbos, it's a question whether this is day or night, then you are still allowed to make an Erev or a Shituf. In all situations, it must be that the Erev or the Shituf is available, ready, if somebody had chosen to eat it, the entirety of twilight. Lafikach, im nafal alav gal, o avad, o nisraf, o shayat truma, v'nitmeis, mevod yom, eino erev. Therefore, if some pile of rocks had fallen upon it, or it was lost, or burned, or it was truma, and then it became tameh, while it was still day, then that's no longer a valid erev. However, if it was once it was already nightfall, so then that still counts as an Erev. As long as it was good during twilight, then it's good afterwards. V'misafik, if it's unclear when it happened, hariza Erev. That counts as an Erev. Shesafik, a Erev kasher. As we saw with Banish Mashals, and also now again, if it's a case of doubt whether it was a valid Erev, since it's rabbinic in nature, we err on the side that it was good, and therefore it's valid. Halacha Chaf Bey is the final halacha in the parak. Nasan Erev oshita b'migdal, v'nal alav. If somebody had placed the Erev or the Shitav inside of some sort of tower, and you locked it, and then you lost the key before it got dark, if it was impossible at this stage for him to go and get the Erev, unless he does Malacha, he would be technically violating Shabbos during that time of twilight, then it's considered as if it's lost, because you're not allowed to do Malacha then. And it's no longer a valid Erev, since it's impossible, in a practical sense, for you to be able to eat this. Hifresh trumas meiser, o truma gdola, v'hisna ala shlo yitiyat truma ach dechshach. If somebody had removed trumas meiser from meiser rishon, or truma gdola from his tabel, and he had stipulated that it shouldn't take effect, it shouldn't become truma until nightfall, ein marvin ba, you can't use that for an erev. Shadayin hi tabel kol banesh mashos, because it's in a state of being untied, it's forbidden to eat, and it's tabel during the whole period of twilight, and it has to be, in order for it to be a valid erev or a shitov, it has to be a proper meal which is fitting to be used from daytime still. It's got to happen before nightfall, and since here it only takes effect at nightfall, it's invalid as an erev or a shitov. That's the end of this first parak. Baruch Hashem, really, really fantastic concepts. Hope everyone has a wonderful day.